ते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम, दिस इज थर्ड कैंटो चैप्टर 25th एंड टेक्स्ट नंबर 21। तितिक्षवः कारुणिकाः सुहृदः सर्वदेहिनाम् अजातशत्रवः शान्ताः साधवः साधुभूषणाः।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय शरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies, he is peaceful, he abides by the scriptures and all his characteristics are sublime. Purport: A sadhu, as described above, is a devotee of the Lord. His concern therefore is to enlighten people in devotional service to the Lord. That is his mercy. He knows that without devotional service to the Lord, human life is spoiled. A devotee travels all over the country from door to door preaching, "Be Krishna conscious, be a devotee of Lord Krishna. Don't spoil your life in simply fulfilling your animal propensities. Human life is meant for self-realization or Krishna consciousness." These are the preachings of a sadhu. He is not satisfied with his own liberation. He always thinks about others. He is the most compassionate personality towards all the fallen souls. One of his qualifications, therefore, is Karunika. Great mercy to the fallen souls. While engaged in preaching work, he has to meet with so many opposing elements, and therefore the sadhu or devotee of the Lord has to be very tolerant. Someone may ill-treat him because the conditioned souls are not prepared to receive the transcendental knowledge of devotional service. They do not like it. That is their disease. The sadhu has a thankless task of impressing upon them the importance of devotional service. Sometimes devotees are personally attacked with violence. Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Haridas Thakur was caned in 22 marketplaces. And Lord Chaitanya's principal assistant, Nityananda, was violently attacked by Jagai and Madhai. But still, they were tolerant because their mission was to deliver the fallen souls. One of the qualifications of a sadhu is that he is very tolerant and is merciful to all fallen souls. He is merciful because he is the well-wisher of all living entities. He is not only a well-wisher of human society, but a well-wisher of animal society as well. It is said here, Sarva Dehinam, which indicates all living entities who have accepted material bodies. Not only does a human being have a material body, but other living entities such as cats and dogs also have material bodies. The devotee of the Lord is merciful to everyone, the cats, dogs, trees, etc. He treats all living entities in such a way that they can ultimately get salvation from this material entanglement. Shivananda Sen, one of the disciples of Lord Chaitanya, gave liberation to a dog by treating the dog transcendentally. There are many instances where a dog got salvation by association with a sadhu, because a sadhu engages in the highest philanthropic activities for the benediction of all living entities. Yet, although a sadhu is not inimical towards anyone, the world is so ungrateful that even a sadhu has many enemies. What is the difference between an enemy and a friend? It is a difference in behavior. A sadhu behaves with all conditioned souls for their ultimate relief from material entanglement. Therefore, no one can be more friendly than a sadhu in relieving a conditioned soul. A sadhu is calm and he quietly and peacefully follows the principles of scripture. A sadhu means one who follows the principles of scripture and at the same time is a devotee of the Lord. One who actually follows the principles of scripture must be a devotee of God, because all the shastras instruct us to obey the orders of the personality of Godhead. Sadhu therefore means a follower of the scriptural injunctions and a devotee of the Lord. All these characteristics are prominent in a devotee. A devotee develops all the good qualities of the demigods, whereas a non-devotee, even though academically qualified, has no actual good qualifications or good characteristics according to the standard of transcendental realization.
Hare Krishna.
Om.
read a few lines from this, Prabhupada's additional commentary given here for the same verse. For each of the words he says, so we will read and then we will discuss. So for Prabhupada says, sadhu, who is a sadhu? Sadhu is a devotee of the Lord. Therefore his concern is to enlighten people in devotion service. That is his mercy. So what is the mercy of a sadhu? Enlighten the people. Education for enlightenment, not entanglement. Modern day education is education for? So your sadhu's education is for enlightenment and emancipation subsequently. Emancipation means salvation or going back home, back to Godhead. So right now you get enlightened, at the end of your life go back to Godhead. Enlightenment and emancipation. So that's the work of a sadhu. That is his mercy. He knows that without devotional service, human life is spoiled. So he travels all over the country, door to door, preaching. Be Krishna conscious. Be a devotee of Lord Krishna. Don't spoil your life in simply fulfilling your animal propensities. Human life is meant for self-realization or Krishna consciousness. Miche nida vashe gelore rati divasa sharira saje Mukunda Madhava Yadava Hari Bole na bolo re vadana bori. See, what does the sadhu do? Somebody was asking, what is the meaning of dancing in the street like this? What do we want to tell people? Yes, we have a message. We are not fools to just go and dance in the street. Just like whenever there is a Bharat festival, people put a turban for somebody and put him on the back of a horse. And in front of that people are dancing, is it not? Even very rich people do that also. Very rich, big families, people dance, men, women, brothers, sisters, everybody dances. Sometimes they throw colors, sometimes they whistle. Sometimes they have given instruments also, dunkatakara, dunkatakara, dunkatakara. They play that also. Huh? They are dancing like this. Huh? And sometimes, so in front of the horse, people are dancing to show the boy, just see how much we love you. We are dancing with abandon. Huh? We don't care for the world. Hum kisi ko parwaah nahin karenge. We love you so much. Huh? Let people call us fools. Let people think we are mad. Yes, we are mad for you. That's one purpose of dancing in front of the bridegroom, in front of the horse for that boy. Another thing is to also express to the world how happy we are. How happy we are in our relationship with him. And he is our very dear one and he is getting married. And so we are in a very happy mood. To declare their happy mood to the world. Now people put up music, people put up dance, people throw colors and all that. So if we can do for just a boy in a family who is put on the back of a horse with a turban for one day in his life. Krishna is Nayakanam Shiro Ratnam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Is it not? He is the hero of all heroes and who is a permanent hero. He is the crest jewel of all heroes. So for him, why can't we dance? So we dance every day. They dance only once in a life. We dance every day for his pleasure. And not only we dance here, we also go out and dance in the street. Why? Because we want others also to come and join our dance. Why only you and I should dance? The whole world should dance for Krishna's tune. Because ultimately all jivas are his parts and parcels. So to make them all dance according to Krishna's tune is our job as Krishna's devotees. That is why we go out and preach to people and we dance, we show, express our happiness in relation with Krishna. Prabhupada says, Chittaranjan Das was once sitting in a park bench with his wife. His wife told him, why do you look so morose? monthly you are earning 50,000 rupees. In those days, 50,000 rupees means now 10 lakh rupees practically. He was earning 50,000 rupees per month. Anybody can imagine 10 lakh per month? Yearly how much you get? 1.2 crore. That much he was earning. And then she said, you are so highly educated, you are so famous, popular in the whole country, you are well known, but why are you so morose? He was sitting with a sunken face. So Prabhupada says, money cannot buy happiness. High education cannot buy happiness. Fame and popularity cannot buy happiness. And then C.R. Das saw one sadhu was passing by, Vaishnava sadhu, very happily smiling and singing Lord's name. He told his wife, I want to be like him. Prabhupada says, see, where is happiness? A fakir. He has practically nothing. That is why he is happy. Because as soon as you get something material in this world, there is anxiety. Because he has nothing, he is very happy. So, Prabhupada explains that a sadhu's business is what? To make unhappy people happy. Sarve janaha sukhino bhavantu. Sarve santu niramaya. Sarve bhadrani pasyantu. Ma kashchit dukkha bhavet. So, to meditate on how to offer the ultimate happiness to the jivas by reconnecting them with their lost father. That is the duty of a sadhu. So here Mahaprabhu is singing, Mukunda Madhava Yadava Hari Balena Balare Vadana Bori. Vadana Bori means fill up your mouth with the chanting of Lord's sweet names. Don't feel shy to chant Lord's names. People feel shy. Sometimes you sing the holy name, tell people to repeat. Sometimes even devotees fear to repeat in a public place, in a train or in a public place. Why to feel shy? How many people are shamelessly showing their bodies in the posters? How many people are shamelessly doing so many dirty things around? Why should we be ashamed to chant the Lord's names loudly for everybody's benefit and our benefit also? So don't chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Don't chant softly. Vadana Bhuri means fill up your mouth. Hare Krishna. Like that you chant, he's saying. Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava, Hari. Like that you chant loudly. Let everybody hear. See, there was one devotee abroad. Not a devotee. He was having his business shop. He was very, very busy in the business, holding a phone and attending to people, big crowd, young boy. He was taking his father's business. And then in the hustling, bustling streets of that city, lot of cars are passing by, people are passing by, it's a noisy street. He heard the sound, like that the sound he heard, and loud chanting of the holy name. He thought, what is this party coming? He wanted to see. So he stopped all his customers. He came and peeped out of the shop to see what is this procession coming up. So he saw only one man procession. Only one devotee was singing very happily, playing kartal and coming in the road. And with ecstatic face. And the devotee was carrying some books in his shoulders and he was playing kartal, and anybody stopped him, he showed the book. So this fellow became so attracted, he told his father, you take care of the shop, I am coming. So he went with that fellow to see where is he going. He followed him, went to his temple and joined full time. You see, conviction of one devotee can, simply by kirtan, he can make a devotee. So, in this way, devotees go in the street with a great compassionate heart to deliver the suffering souls. In this way, sadhu should go. And after telling them to chant the holy name, what is he saying? Miche nida vashe gelo re rati. He is saying, oh people, just see how human form of life is so important. Whole night goes in sleeping and the day goes in decorating this decaying, dwindling, perishable material body, wearing so many types of costly garments and hairstyles and cosmetics and shoes and watches and flashy items on the body. You know, all these things, decorations that we do for this dying material body, they will all be finished. So do not be mad after decorating this body. Prabhupada says in one of his books that one husband and wife he met, he told them, please purchase this one Back to Godhead magazine. They were refusing to pay. Instead of purchasing BTG, you know, he was purchasing some lipstick for his wife and, you know, some nail polish for his wife. So Prabhupada is saying that, see, if he adds more cosmetics on her body, then that fellow will be more illusion. Is it not true? But if he pays the same money for buying Back to Godhead, they both can go back to Godhead. Correct, no? So he's ultimately you have to spend money, everybody in this world. Spend money for lipstick and nail polish and put it on their body simply to get more illusion. Instead, Papa says, buy Back to Godhead, both of you study, engage in devotion service and go back to Godhead. So, sometimes Prabhupada's examples are very striking. Huh? So, in this way, another duty of a sadhu, apart from doing kirtan and spreading the holy name, is also to enlighten people that this body is a perishable body, this world, mental world is a temporary place. Huh? Wake up from your sleepy state of ignorance. Huh? Get up. Huh? And engage in the service of Lord Hari. To give them that message, frankly, publicly, preaching to the people. So he's saying like this, human life is meant for self-realization. Don't spoil your life. Don't waste. Very dangerous to spend your life like this. Like Prabhupada was walking abroad with his disciples. While walking in the park, he saw people playing this checkers game. Old people, you know. Prabhupada, he just see they are 80 plus. And they are still playing checkers. Huh? And they don't know what body they are going to get next. I try to preach to them. They are still not listening to me. And even if they listen also, they are already 82, 84. Huh? They are counting their last years. Huh? But Prabhupada said, a old dog cannot learn new tricks. That's why I am preaching to all of you young boys and girls. He said that. Huh? But Prabhupada felt great sympathy. In Prabhupada's lectures, when he would speak about cow killing, disciples saw one time when Prabhupada speaking, tears were gliding down his cheeks when he was speaking about cow killing. Many times we also speak because we speak it as a matter of fact what's happening in the country. But a great sadhu has the deep compassion for the suffering souls. Like how the millions of children are aborted, how the cows are being killed in millions. So he truly believes that this world can be changed. He never thinks, hey, who is going to listen to us? You know? There are 7 billion population. You know, how are we going to change everything? Because I can't change everybody. I just do my bhajan and go back to Godhead. He doesn't think like that. You know? Let me do my part. Let me change as many people as possible and bring them close to Krishna's lotus feet. Let me try to assist Lord in his mission of reclaiming the suffering souls. In this way, he is the most compassionate personality towards all fallen souls. So his qualification therefore is Karunika, great mercy to the fallen souls. And while engaging in preaching work, he says he meets many opposing elements. So sadhu has to be very tolerant. That's why he's called Titikshavaha. Sometimes people ill-treat him because conditioned souls are not prepared to receive the transcendental knowledge of devotional service. They don't like it. That's their disease. But the sadhu has the thankless task of impressing upon them the importance of devotional service. Sometimes Prabhupada says, what to speak of conditioned souls uninterested in devotional service. Sometimes they may attack also. So he gives the example of Haridas Thakur and Jesus Christ. Huh? Sometimes they may be attacked, devotees also. So one time in Bombay, Juhu, Haridas Prabhu went all day for making life numbers and came in the evening. And then he was hungry, but he went and checked, the prasadam got over and nobody kept a plate for him. He got fed up. He went straight to Prabhupada's room. He threw his bead bag on his desk and Prabhupada looked up. He said, I quit, he said. Prabhupada said, what happened? So he said, Prabhupada, I went all day, morning to evening. I couldn't make a single life member today. Nobody is interested in this program. He said, Prabhupada said, be patient. When this new temple of Radharas Bihari opens, people will be queuing up to become life members. But now you have to be patient, he said. And then he said, not only that, Prabhupada, when I came now, I am so hungry, there is no prasadam left in the ashram. Nobody can't even make a plate for me. Our Prabhupada said, think about the people with whom you are living. They have left America, they have come to this hot country, India, and they are working so hard to render service to me. They are engaged in the preaching mission. So because in this way they are rendering devotional service, you have to tolerate them, he said. So Prabhupada taught him patience and tolerance, both in one instance only. So in this way, when devotees go to distribute books or preach to people, God is the last thing people want in their life, most people. People immediately will turn away. They will say, I'm not interested. We have to know that, yes, we know that you are not interested, still we want to give you. Who said you are interested? We know it very well. whenever I would go to distribute a book, if somebody says, I'm not interested, turn. Are you interested in happiness? They'll say, yeah, they will say, yeah, this is happiness. How do you say this is happiness? See, Arjuna is morose. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita and the end of Bhagavad Gita, he has become happy. So you take Bhagavad Gita, you will be happy also. Because that means this whole 700 verses have made him happy. Will it not make you happy? At that time, he was actually number one man in the whole battlefield. He was unbeatable, very, very. There were very few combats like Karna for him, Arjuna. But although he's like a CEO of a company, imagine CEO of a company collapses on his table saying that, I don't see any profits for the company, I don't see any future, I think we have to shut down the company. What will happen to all the employees? So that's what happened to Arjuna. Or imagine a Bharatanatyam dancer goes to the stage, she's about to begin, she's standing in a posture, and then when the stage opens, she sees 1,000 people, and she sits down, feeling shy, I cannot dance now, isn't it? Then lights are focusing on her, and everybody is waiting, hey, when is she going to stand up and dance? Similarly, Arjuna is putting the Gandiva down and not ready. But you see, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, how charged up he was by hearing Bhagavad Gita. So, in this way, that boy took the Bhagavad Gita after I spoke these things to him. Actually, we know that people are not interested, but we cannot get fed up with them. If you get fed up and say, you are not interested, become a dog. If you say, hey, what did you say? You get angry, you punch on your nose. You said you become a dog? Because you won't understand how he can become a dog. He doesn't know what is soul, what is body, how you go from one body to another, all that he doesn't know. He will think that you have called him a dog or something. So, we cannot be impatient in reaching out the wisdom to the suffering souls. We have to be very tolerant and patient in giving them. So, that's why he's saying. So, he's quoting the example of Nityananda Prabhu, very merciful. Jesus Christ, Haridas Thakur, all these examples, how they patiently preached. Sadhu is very merciful because he is a well-wisher of all living entities. And then he is not only well-wisher of human society, then he is also animal society also. Sarva Surda, Sarva Dehina. Then he is saying that Shivanand Sen, how he delivered a dog. And then in the same purport later, Prabhupada says, yes, it is true that Shivanand Sen took pity on a dog who was following the Vaishnavas. And then he fed him some prasad. And then Lord Chaitanya liberated the dog. But later on Prabhupada says, at the same time, Prabhupada says that Shivanand Sen did not degrade his consciousness by associating with the dog. Rather, he elevated the dog's consciousness to his consciousness, Krishna consciousness, you see. That's very important. Bharat Maharaj associated with the deer, but what he did? He lowered his consciousness to that of a deer. And he became a deer in the next life. Isn't it? So that is very dangerous, misplaced attachment or misplaced compassion. So Prabhupada says, yes, he is compassionate to all jivas. How is he compassionate? That also he explains. He says that actually he is compassionate in such a way that he offers liberation from material miseries and connection to Krishna, to all the jivas. That is his compassion. He is not compassionate in such a way that, he degrades himself. That kind of compassion is never glorified in the scripture. That kind of foolish compassion. So, And then he says, in the modern times, people are developing too much attachment to dogs, and they're practically worshipping the dogs. You know, going with a tin behind a dog, you know, to pass stool, or carrying the dog with a leash, you know, bathing the dog, dressing the dog, decorating the dog. Gradually their face cut also becomes like a dog only. In the next life they are preparing to get a dog's body. Correct, no? So that is not compassion for a dog. That is material attachment to a dog. So that type of love for animals is not glorified in the scripture. Actually, in the Bhagavatam it says the grihasthas especially are supposed to be compassionate to all the creatures, including even mice or ants, or even the lower animals which are under service, like the horses or the donkeys or the camels, or the dog is the protector of home, cows which give milk. This kind of all the animals should be shown compassion. But there is a method of showing compassion to different animals. Dog you don't even touch also. You feed them food outside the house and send it away. Don't even bring it inside the home. It's a very dirty animal. It eats the bones and flesh. It also has parasites on its body and everything. We don't even bring it inside. Dirty animal. Whereas the cow is considered a pure animal. In a cow's body, you know, all the demigods are residing. Lakshmi is sitting on the back. And Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, all of them are residing in the body of a cow. So, cow is a very sacred animal, holy animal. It's a worshipable animal. On the other hand, other animals are not mistreated either in the Vedic times. They are also fed. You know, nobody will feel inimical to an animal or an insect or a bird who wants to eat something. Like one fellow was sitting under a tree relaxing in the shade of the tree. One dog also came to relax in the shade. It was a hot sunny day. The man took a stone and was about to throw it on the dog. And the tree spoke, "Hey, wait a minute. I am giving you shade. I also want to give that fellow also shade. Why are you driving away as if you are giving something? Why don't you allow that fellow to also take shade?" So then the fellow realized. So there should be no delight in tormenting the living entities further. Already they have enough torment in this world. So everybody should be allowed to live in this world. That's why all the jivarashis have their own respective foods, and they should be allowed to eat and survive. At the same time, that is one type of, you know, compassion. But greater compassion than that is to give them prasad. Give them some prasad. And like what Shivanand is saying, how he elevated. Surda sarva dehinam. His well-wisher of all living beings, he is saying. Ajata Shatravaha. And then Prabhupada says, what is the difference between enemy and friend? It's a difference in behavior. A sadhu behaves with all conditioned souls for their ultimate relief from material entanglement. Therefore, no one can be more friendly than a sadhu in relieving a conditioned soul. A sadhu is, that means he is saying he is everyone's friend in what respect? In relieving them from material entanglement. This is the duty of a sadhu. And then later Prabhupada will say, he explains further, saying that although a sadhu tries to relieve everybody from material entanglement, there will be somebody who is his enemy, like he says toward the end of his commentary. Here he says. He says, the first class sadhu is one who is always thinking of Krishna. He says. And then he says that we think of our business, our dog, our family, our lovable object and so many other things. We have to think of something, but we simply have to divert our thoughts to Krishna, he says. So for that one has to associate with the sadhu. Often the sadhu's task is thankless one, but he has to be tolerant. And then he goes on. So he says here, he sees that people are suffering due to lack of Krishna consciousness because, okay. He does not simply think, I shall just take care of my brother. No. He looks on all living beings as his brothers. Because Krishna says that he is the father of all living entities. He says, you know, garbham dadamyaham, he says. And then the next verse he says, aham bija pradahapita, 14.4. He says that. And because a sadhu lives in this way, he does not create enemies. He says, because sadhu is actually thinking everybody to be his brothers, all jivas. So he has no enemies, Prabhupada says. And then he says, if there are enemies, they become enemies out of their own character. not out of any provocation on the part of a sadhu. A sadhu simply teaches, my dear human being, my dear friend, just surrender to Krishna. Enemies arise due to man's envious nature. Then Chanakya Panditi quotes, Kalanam, Kantakanam, Chaduridev, this one, serpents and men. And then he says, of the two, Chanakya Pandit says that the envious man is more dangerous because the serpent can be subdued by chanting a mantra or by some herbs. But an envious man cannot be so subdued. In Kali Yuga, practically everyone is envious. But we have to tolerate this. Envious people create many impediments to the Krishna consciousness movement, but you have to tolerate them. There is no alternative. One must be peaceful and depend on Krishna in all circumstances. These are the ornaments of a sadhu. We should find a sadhu and associate with him. Then our path of liberation will be open. So, Titikshavaha, Karunika, Suhrda Sarvadehina, Ajata Shatravaha. He has no enemies, but some people will consider themselves his enemies. Because they don't like Krishna consciousness, they try to stop his endeavors in preaching. They can become his enemies, he says. Like some people, when you try to distribute books and enlighten people, some people will talk loudly ill about Bhagavad Gita. Like, you know, somebody says, what is this Bhagavad Gita? You see, it's a very big knowledge, but useless, because that same person, Krishna, caused the great massacre of some crores of people. It's a great murder happened in that Ranabhumi of Kurukshetra. Why should we read this literature, which is full of bloodshed? Some people talk like that. Then when other people hear it, they think, oh, yes, it is true. And another fellow would say, Arey, Bhagwan itne bade hain, chahe to yuddha ko rok bhi sakte the. Kyon roka nahi? Agar Bhagwan hai to unke paas shakti hai na? Unhone kyon roka nahi yuddha ko? Isse yuddha macha diya dono ke bich mein, Kauravon ke bich mein, Bhai Pandavon ke bich mein, itna khun bharata nadi jaise. What kind of people, what kind of thing you are propagating? And then others here, they also hear this blasphemy and they tend to think that yes, nobody wants Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes you try to distribute, people talk like this. The devotee should be always equipped with knowledge to combat all kinds of envious elements. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are two verses. One verse says, in the Bhishma Pitama Stuti, he says, Gata Swarupam, he says. Everybody in the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their Swarupa. That is one verse which says that. Because, see, anybody looks at Krishna at the time of death, Antakalecha, Mahameva Smaran. Then how can they suffer? They all attained the Parampadam. Another verse, that Tatraiva Chanye Naraloka Veera Yahave Krishna Bukara Vindam. Netre pibanto nayana abhiramam. With that eyes they were drinking the beautiful form of Krishna. Partha astra putaha padamapurasya. That verse also says. Partha astra means what? From the Gandiva, when Arjuna was sending, they would pierce the body of the enemies and evaporate all their sinful reactions and dispatch them to the spiritual realm, paravyoma. Either to Brahma Jyoti or Vaikuntha or Goloka, depending on their relationship with Krishna. But the point is, not a single soldier came back. Everybody went to the Parampadam. So how can that be considered killing? You have to challenge the people who say that, can you kill somebody and benefit them in this world? If you kill, they are finished. That is your hand. But see Krishna's hand, he can kill somebody and give them Parampadam. So, in this, if his killing can be so merciful, how much his wisdom can be merciful? Buy Bhagavad Gita and read it, isn't it? So, anything that comes from Krishna is all good. There cannot be anything bad. It's impossible. The word samam bonam means what? It's a sum total of all good. Imagine if you take this pitti sakar and you make a doll. Anywhere you prick the doll and eat little bit, it will be sugar. Krishna's body is like that only. Is adharam madhuram, badanam madhuram, hasitam madhuram, nayanam madhuram, gamanam madhuram, hridayam madhuram, sabkuch madhuram, maturadipate akhilam madhuram. His everything, his speech is sweet, his heart is sweet, his behavior is sweet, his walking is sweet. He is a sweet personified. He is called as emperor of sweetness. It's one of the names of Krishna. He is Rasika Shekhar. So, nothing bad can come out of him. Simply by holding Krishna in his mouth, Agasura became purified. His dirty mouth like latrine became purified when Krishna entered it. Krishna entered the mouth and rendered it fragrant. The Putana Rakshasi, with their ghastly body, 12 miles long, became fragrant by Krishna's touch. Such a Krishna's touch which renders everybody divine, how can it bring about any inauspiciousness? Sarva Amangala Hare Yati Hari. It is said. The definition of Hari is one who steals away all inauspiciousness of all the jivas. So such a person, when he gives knowledge, it's all good. And it can bring us the greatest kalyan for the jiva. So, in this way, when envious elements, we confront them, we have to be able to defeat their bogus misunderstandings and misconceptions by right understanding, shastric understanding. Prabhupada said a devotee should be like a lawyer. He should be able to immediately quote 18.66, 9.34, isn't it? 4.34. What is 4.34? That is different. 7.14. Gunamayya. Is it not true? So in this way, devotee should remember the shlokas. You remember, if Prabhupada would call a devotee, come here, bring Bhagavad Gita. And some professor would come to talk to him. Take the verse 18.66. And the professor will be wondering, he's quoting like IPC code, Indian Penal Code. So devotee should be like that. So in this way, when we are confronted by the inimical living entities in our preaching and book distribution, one has to be very patient. When Prabhupada wanted to do preaching in Calcutta, a huge program, like Ras Maidan, you know, Pandal in Bombay, that was very successful. 20,000 people came every day. You know, almost 10 days Prabhupada did that. After that, Prabhupada told Shamsundar Prabhu, go to Calcutta and establish a similar program there. And Calcutta was even more bigger, bigger than Bombay also. Very successful. But the problem was, the very first day, Prabhupada saw the crowd and he was smiling, he was very happy. Suddenly there was some, you know, culture, you know, there was some movements in the crowd and devotees came and whispered to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, we may have to stop the program. They said, what is it? We have got flyers which have come from the, you know, like Naxalite youths, communist youths. They have given a flyer, fly or die, they are saying. Fly means quit this pandal, you people, and go, or you die at our hands. They have sent, oh, really? And all the devotees were trembling. Prabhupada, it may be very risky for you to go to the stage because the communists are feeling that you are propagating religion. The communists are against religion for one person, one reason, because their leader told them, religion is the opiate of the masses, you know. He said, opiate means like an intoxication. If people become intoxicated in religion, they are against it because they want everybody to be, all the poverty-stricken people to be given their respective food, clothing, shelter and everything. So they are more for social service than the money being used in God's service. They don't want. So that is why there was a big opposition for Prabhupada when he went to Russia also. Actually, Prabhupada was finding it very difficult to get entry into Russia. At last, he got an entry for a brief time and he preached to Ivan and made him Ananta Shaktidas and came back. Prabhupada preached to him and came back. That one fellow took off to whole Russia, Krishna consciousness later on. So, and devotees were telling Prabhupada, let us stop the program. Prabhupada said, nothing doing, I'm going to do the program at any cost. Prabhupada said, call the youths, I can talk to them. And some devotees went to bring the youths, but then other disciples of Prabhupada felt that no, they should not talk to Prabhupada. If they talk to Prabhupada, something damage may happen. They may harm Prabhupada and everything. But Prabhupada was very bold. And they told Prabhupada, no, Prabhupada, you don't talk, we will talk to them. Prabhupada asked, find out what's the problem in our program. And then they brought some youths to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, why are you upset with our program? We are taking the message of India to all over the world. You see, we are broadcasting the glories of our Indian cultural heritage. And amongst youth, there became some differences. Some of them said very good, others said not good. They were confused. And then later on, Prabhupada went to the stage and took his kartal. Chintamani pakarasadmasu kalpavrikshalakshavriteshu surabhir Abhipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasra శతసంభ్రమ సేవ్యమానం గోవిందం ఆదిపురుషం తమహం భజామి. లైక్ దట్ ప్రభుపాద్ స్టార్టెడ్ సింగింగ్ వన్ ఆఫ్టర్ అనదర్ మల్టిపుల్ ప్రేయర్స్ ఫ్రమ్ బ్రహ్మ సంహిత. స్లోలీ ద యూత్ క్రౌడ్ మూవ్డ్ అవుట్ దోస్ ఫెలోస్ అండ్ వండర్ఫుల్ ప్రోగ్రామ్ వెంట మెనీ సబ్సిక్వెంట్ డేస్. ద ఐడియా ఇస్ దట్ దర్ ఇస్ ఆల్వేస్ అపోజిషన్ ఫ్రమ్ ఎన్వియస్ ఎలిమెంట్స్ ఫర్ ప్రాపగేటింగ్ దిస్ మూమెంట్. లైక్ వీ గో టు కాలేజెస్ టు ప్రీచ్. Like I remember going to one of the NITs, a gear program, it was applauded very much, and after that many professors surrounded and asked many questions. They wanted to learn more about Krishna consciousness. So the organizer, gentleman who arranged, he was very happy at the end of the program. And one of the professor's colleagues came to him and said, "Hey, hamare college ko kya bhagwakaran kyon kar rahe hain?" He asked him, finished. That is like one drop of poison in milk. Yes. When he heard it, he started trembling. He became very angry with that professor. Later on, he told me that, you know, this fellow told this, I became very upset. I said, don't become upset. Such elements are there everywhere. You know, he's not the only one. Even when midday meal was done all over India, there was a lot of opposition from other religious people saying that you are saffronizing India. You know, they are seeing connection between midday meal and ISKCON. They're saying, why are you saffronizing India? And they are saying, they are converting, another group was saying, you are making all Indians into brahmanas with no onion, garlic. They're saying, with no onion, garlic and no meat. And in fact, ISKCON midday meal, they were saying, we will give midday meal. They were saying, uske saath anda bhi de do. You know, they wanted egg also. ISKCON said, if you want us to cook, we will not give egg. They said, no, 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 your khichdi is very nice. Just add one egg and give. They said, nothing doing. We cannot add because we have our pure principles. They said, okay, you give khichdi and we will arrange egg. ISKCON people said, no. If children are given only vegetarian, then only we are with you. Otherwise, we are out. Then finally, egg was removed. Only midday meal continued. In many of the schools in India. And then some people told in, politicians told in newspaper, hey, they are making all India, you know, Indians into saffronizing India, things like this. So when you try to do any good activity, there will always be opposition from envious elements who don't like Brahminical culture. This is not only now, even in the Vedic times also, you can see Hiranyakashipu, what kind of trouble he created, against all the Vaishnava bhaktas were killed also. They will, you know, he told his men, you go and destroy the gopurams of temples. He was not a Muslim also, I mean, Hiranyakashipu. He was born in Vedic culture. When Mughals were ruling India, in order to take over India, in some places they were attacking some of the Hindu temples and all. But you can see, Hiranyakashipu is born in Vedic culture, but he is against Vedic culture. You can see that atheism, you know, is not any pertaining to anybody, even a so-called religious person can be atheistic also. He has his own religion of social service, you see. So Hiranyakashipu told them to destroy gopurams, destroy hermitages of sages, destroy all the yajna kundas. And he said, cut down all the pious trees and bridges and everything, he said. He was actually creating trouble for the general public as well as for the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who are worshipping the Lord. You can see that. So such envious elements are there. Like Kamsa was creating such a havoc in his times also. So we are living in the material world. Prabhupada says there is always a tug of war between Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu, or Kamsa and Krishna. And in that war, Krishna always wins, Prahlad always wins. Similarly, devotees should find out ways and means to innovatively reach out the sublime message of the scriptures to the suffering people. That is the real intelligence. The real intelligence means not quarrel with the karmis. Even if somebody is inimical, like in one college we had, 45 boys were coming for DYS and all intelligent boys. Suddenly 15 boys only were coming. We came to know that 30 boys stopped coming. Why? You know, one of their seniors became anti-person who told something to them and they stopped coming. Later on when devotees went, I told devotees, never fight with him, don't catch his collar or something. Because fighting is not the solution. Find out what. So when one of the boys passed out from the same college, went and met the boy and made friends with him, and I still talked to him, asked him, what's your problem? He became very afraid. Because he's a junior, he's in third year, and the boy is passed out and working in a company. So he became very afraid and he said, No, I was worried that boys, you know, will not do extracurricular activities and they will not do their academics well. That's why I told them. Then this senior was such an intelligent senior, he took the same boy to those 30 boys and told him to give a talk to them that this program is very good, all of you come. So they all came back again. Can you imagine? So actually, ultimately the end result should be accomplished. We should not fight with karmis in such a way that karmis become more and more wrongly empowered to stop our activities. So Prabhupada used to say, Upadesho hi murkanam prakopayanishan. If you try to advise a foolish materialist, he can become more angry. So we should try to find out how to stop the materialist from causing nuisance to Krishna's movement. That is real intelligence. If you need to smile, you smile. If you have to shake hands, you shake hands. If you have to praise, you praise. If you have to cajole, you cajole. If you have to, you know, stare him, you stare him. You stare at him and, you know, you tell him that you also can do something if need be. But ultimately, the end result should be accomplished, that the movement of Krishna consciousness should be propagated. The wheel should be kept moving. That should not stop. So that is actually ajata shatravaha. And shantaha, a devotee is calm, quiet, and peaceful, Prabhupada says. How? In following the scriptural injunctions, which are actually laws of God given in the scriptures. He abides by the scriptures. He doesn't break the principles of God. He takes them very, very seriously. It as if Krishna is speaking to him directly when he studies the scriptures. He doesn't interpret the scriptures or manufacture anything of his own. He accepts Krishna's instructions as it is, and he applies in his life, and he teaches others. And peaceful, one meaning of peaceful is, his mind and senses are peacefully situated, controlled by the injunctions of the scriptures. The injunctions of the scriptures pin him down from engaging in wrong things. They don't, like for example, the dhatu word means control. So shastra or shishya, they all come from the same word. So which means a true devotee of God is controlled by the injunctions of the scriptures, and he is peacefully situated. So shantaha actually means his shanti is not that temporary shanti that comes by material acquisitions. Getting a TV, getting a car, getting a bungalow, getting some material success gives some shanti also. Such a shanti is very short-lived shanti. But a devotee shanti is naishtiki shanti. He attains that. And sadhava bhushanaha, these are all different decorations of a sadhu. Now, the same words, titikshava, karunika, sukrata sarvadehinam. Now, Prabhupada has spoken this purports in relation to the world outside as against the devotees who are living a pure lifestyle. What is the time? My Lord, I can go 5 more minutes? 5 or 10 minutes. So, one meaning of word titikshava means tolerating our senses and mind. That is also tolerance. Tolerating all allurements, like Haridas Thakur tolerated the prostitutes, you know, allurement. That's one meaning of titikshava also. Another meaning of titiksha is tolerating the 6 urges, vachavegam, manasavegam, krodhavegam, jivavegam, udaravegam, pastavegam. That is also titiksha, tolerance. And Prabhupada has given the meaning of titiksha, that tolerance of tolerating the troubles given by the other living entities in this world. And also titiksha means tolerating the likes and dislikes of the mind. Because mind always considers somebody to be friend, somebody to be enemy, based on whether a person praises me or whether a person insults me. Is it not true? Somebody insults me, finds fault with me, is my enemy. Somebody praises me, he is my friend. So the mind has one mode which is called as, even the psychologists say that, is he for me or is he against me? That's all. It doesn't know a third thing. It's like binary number, one or zero. Nobody can be. For example, you say this devotee is wonderful. You say publicly, for example, if two devotees are seen to be embracing in the public, people say, oh, my heart was swelling in joy. These two Maharajas were embracing or something. People say that. But behind the screen, nobody sees who is doing what to whom. Correct, no? People mostly go by the externals only. They don't see the essence. When people see, so that is the nature of the gullible living entities, actually. In the same manner, what one person is doing good for other person in long term is not seen. The short term benefits are seen the most, like this. So, because of that, in this world, we can become very intolerant with superficial tricks of our mind, which goes by based on the on likes and dislikes. Correct, no? And Srila Prabhupada in his times very much begged cooperation between the devotees because of that. Because like our Haridas Prabhu's pastime I was telling you with Prabhupada. In the same manner you will see, you live in the same temple, same project, and you work together, especially in the managerial situation, amongst equals, amongst authorities and subordinates. There can very easily be bitterness based on the person who was your closest friend in the last so many years can become your enemy, especially when you have to give him a feedback in an authoritative role. Now you have a calm, you have a few devotees in this temple. So now you want to tell something good to a person, try to tell him, you will see immediately, you will say, the same person whom you thought of to be your, you may think, you are my friend so many years, I am telling you, no, now you are finding fault, you will say like that. So Prabhupada says, while living in a community of devotees, we need extreme tolerance. His Holiness Bhaktirasamad Maharaj used to say, you know, managing assets is more easy, but managing people is more difficult. And managing devotees is even more challenging. On one hand, devotees are very dear to Krishna. On the other hand, the devotees are all, you know, voluntary workers, swayam sevak. We are not paying them any salary. They have given their life, they have given their body, mind, words, everything. And to manage them is a very great challenge. One time I was telling our Nandasutta Prabhu, why don't you take some devotee volunteers for the kitchen? He said, no, you know. He said that at the least expected moment they will run away. Some Maharajas come for lecture, they will go away. Such a, he has paid workers. Paid workers are more easy to manage because you can tell them, if you don't do the work, I won't pay you. But devotees you can't say. Devotees are voluntary workers. So while working in the community of devotees, one requires extreme. And why we should tolerate, Prabhupada gives the example. They are serving Krishna. They are serving the movement of Krishna. They are assisting in propagating Krishna consciousness in some way. So they are not ordinary people. So they have to be tolerated. And this likes and dislikes, which is a very superficial nature of the mind, which makes us see the externals behind the essence. So that should be overcome by proper study of the Shastra and developing depth of understanding. You can read the chapter, last chapter of Rishabhadev. It talks about the nature of mind. And also 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also. Similarly, Karunika, you know, merciful to the animals, it's all right. We are merciful to the public who are forgetting the importance of human form of life, it's all right. But the mercy should also be applied in the society of devotees. Now, what is that mercy? A Vaishnava has two sides, Vajradapi Kathoram, Kusumadapi Komalam. This is not my own statement, it's a Shastric statement. So, a Vaishnava may have more of Kusumadapi and less of Vajradapi. Some Vaishnava have more of Vajradapi and less of Kusumadapi. But ultimately, both components are there with a Vaishnava. And mercy can be given in both the ways. Like you go to a doctor, he gives you some chocolates first before giving an injection. You've seen that? There are some chocolate bottles, children. Sometimes, you know, I used to take all the four chocolates in the hand. By the time I can taste, injection is put already. It's over already. So, sometimes we may pray, you know, offer some appreciation, encouragement, praises. and also give the medicine of Krishna consciousness, which sometimes may be painful also. But the mercy is, what is ultimately mercy? Prabhupada says enlightenment. The enlightenment is actually the mercy. So the beautiful example is given of the cloud. The cloud gives rain shower, which is actually very enjoyable. The peacocks are dancing when the rain showers come, isn't it? And the cloud also has a thunder and lightning also. The thunder is actually the corrections given by the guru to the disciple, which is painful oftentimes. Burjan Prabhu's book is a very wonderful book, My Glorious Master. When Prabhupada was giving chastisement to him about the morning program, he said it was like a symphony with the cymbals, you know, playing like that. He was giving chastisement after chastisement. He is giving nice analogy, he gives. Like a nice kirtan, Prabhupada was giving one after another, telling. Prabhupada asked him, is your temple in ISKCON? Prabhupada asked him, Prabhupada, I am also in ISKCON, my temple is ISKCON only. No, no, I was asking because no morning program is happening. He was saying, you know. So that is like the thunder. And then there is also lightning. What is lightning equal to? Enlightenment. There is chastisement, there is enlightenment, and there is love, which is the rain shower. All the three in one package are given. So that is mercy of a Vaishnava. The mercy of a Vaishnava. You cannot say only rain shower. No lightning, no thunderbolt. Shh. Clouds don't, only the rain shower should come. That is not possible. That's why Vaishnava is called Vajradhapi Katoram, Kusumadhapi Komalam. Is it not? That's mercy. So, Titikshavaha, Karanika, Surda Sarvadehina. Yeah, Vaishnava is also Surda, Krishna is also Surhit. The word Surdam comes from Hrit. Hrit means Hridai. Suhrit means he is deeply concerned about the welfare of every living being. He has no enemies, Ajata Shatrava. Even if somebody behaves in an inimical way with him, he will always be a friend of everybody. He can never make any enmity with anybody. Even in a society of devotees, when Prabhupada returned to India, you know, some of his god brothers praised him. Bhakta Krishidhar Maharaj embraced him and glorified him. He said, Swami Maharaj, you have done whatever Guru Maharaj wanted. He glorified him publicly, privately, in all respects. Puri Maharaj also, year after year he came to Vrindavan in this wheelchair and he spoke the glories of Prabhupada to all ISKCON devotees, and ISKCON devotees derived tremendous strength from him, appreciating Prabhupada. But there were some god brothers who became envious of Prabhupada. They were telling, look at him, he is singing in this cassette like a crow's voice, like that they were criticizing. Some of them are telling, when Prabhupada came to India, he had no temples. He had to keep devotees in some mathas, which belonged to his god brothers. And when devotees are kept there, the god brothers try to divert the people away from Prabhupada, telling them that, you know, see, your guru, he doesn't know so much Sanskrit. You know, our guru here, he knows a lot of Sanskrit. Your guru is not such a great scholar. See, he was a businessman, he was a grihastha also, you know. He had five children and all that, you know. He came to America, and because he has some business tactics and all, he became successful in opening a movement. But right now that you have come to India, you leave him and you join us. They were saying like that. They're preaching. And devotees were so innocent, they went and told Prabhupada as it is, whatever. Prabhupada said, don't go there, you know, we better take a rented place and stay out. You know, American boys and girls. So there were envious people also. And Prabhupada had to tell, Prabhupada told one disciple, that god brother of mine, he is like an envious snake. He's trying to bite me. Don't go there. And devotees are so innocent. They were telling you people are all mlechas and chandalas, and he has given you the holy name. Like that they were telling. They came and told Prabhupada, they were glorifying us. They said we are mlechas, chandalas, and we received the holy. Prabhupada said, he is joking at you, actually. They are ridiculing all of you and you are thinking they are praising. So in this way, Prabhupada kept the devotees away. And later on, one devotee asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you said that your god brother is like a snake. Now we came to know he has died. So what would be his destination, Prabhupada? Ooh, he was laughing like this. He went back to Godhead, Prabhupada said. Prabhupada wanted to tell them, you know, he may be envious of me. He may be envious of me, but I am not envious of him. That Prabhupada wanted to say. Correct, no? So, Prabhupada on one hand had to prevent the disciples from dangers. On the other hand, he also had to prevent the envy in their hearts also. Correct, no? It was not an easy thing. So Surda Sarvadehina, Ajata Shatravaha. Shantaha means very peaceful. So in America, how much he struggled to preach? In India, how much he struggled to preach to the so-called pious Indians? So we had one day Prabhupada was telling Giriraj Maharaj, in Juhu, when I came in the early days, one well-wisher used to take me in his car. So between the driver and Prabhupada, there will be a big bulldog sitting there. Like that, it will be doing like this next, like looking at Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is, and then turned, Hare Krishna, and would chant like this. Prabhupada's dog was always showing his tongue, like that to me. Prabhupada was saying like, and I had to travel with him, his body was rubbing my body. And Prabhupada said, Titikshavaha, Karunika, I was tolerant, Prabhupada said. You know, because he had no other facility. Prabhupada had to go in that fellow's car to different parts of Bombay, you know, searching for place and everything. So a devotee is ready to tolerate anything. He was, you know, they were keeping meat in the same fridge where he kept his potatoes in America, correct? Titikshavaha, that is also tolerance. A devotee has to tolerate. In this way, Shantaha means peacefully devotee should go on preaching and propagating Krishna consciousness, sincerely practicing the injunctions of the scriptures without becoming unnecessarily disturbed. On personal account, a devotee is never disturbed. For Krishna's movement, a devotee is disturbed. That is a very important point to note. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur